Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And let me be the first to say good morning to you from 93.7 The Fan. This is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole here with you till about 5:40. We get started with the Fan Morning Show pre-show. It's the start of a new day, and it's brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center, 504 on your Thursday morning, and a victory Thursday morning as the Pittsburgh Penguins went out there and defended home ice last night against an undefeated Colorado Avalanche team, 3-2 in overtime, in a game that I thought was, although it was at home, I felt like it was an early litmus test for this team. I mean, it's one thing to win and to have a depleted roster and still win games against the Wild or the Ducks and even the Winnipeg Jets, although they were a playoff team last year. This was against Colorado. This was against the last remaining undefeated team in the league. This was on national TV, on NBC. You had Doc calling the game. You had all eyes of the hockey world on you against a young player in Nathan MacKinnon, who's one of the apples of the NHL's eye in terms of being a rising superstar and marketing those young talents that are coming into the league. And so, yes, the Penguins have been winning without Bjugstad, without Malkin, without Rust, without Galchenyuk, all of these guys. And again, we see the Penguins' best players be their best players. Jake Guentzel scores again. All that guy does is score goals and just bury pucks. And the more established players like Brandon Tanev, he scores in overtime, just kind of throws the puck to the net and off an Avalanche player. I think it was Landeskog in front of the net there, and just trickles in. And most importantly, when you're talking about, of course, the Penguins' best players showing up and being the best players, Sidney Crosby shows up and is dominant once again. And I know it's early. I know we're only six games in and it's October. Those are all things that you put into perspective. But Sid looks more motivated and focused this early in the season than maybe, I don't know, I've seen him in a long time. I mean, these injuries, I think, may have been the best thing for him, where he goes into this follow-me mode, where these injuries have kind of awakened a beast inside him. Yet another classic Sidney Crosby goal last night, where he just does things so naturally and so calmly that nobody else even thinks about really doing. I mean, that puck pops up in the air, and you know, without hesitation, he just grabs it, puts it back on the ice, and there's a couple of defenders in front of him, goes around them, waits till the very last minute, the very last moment, to shoot that puck on the backhand to get it around Grubauer and score there. Waits out everybody to slip it by him. And we should all just be enjoying what Sidney Crosby is doing right now, because he recognizes the moment that he's in. He knows that half of the forwards are out right now and that he is the man. And he embraces being the man. And you've got to love a superstar that does that. Are we surprised? Am I surprised? No. Of course I'm not surprised after watching Sidney Crosby throughout his entire career. The man has three Stanley Cups for a reason. But I think it's bringing out the very best in him, and we should just be sitting back and enjoying the brilliance that is Sidney Crosby right now. And Brandon Tanev just throwing that puck across the crease and getting it to hit off a man in front. Kind of a weird anticlimactic end to it, if you will, but you take it. And Matt Murray had 26 saves. He was good enough again, so a feel-good win really here early in the season for the Penguins against a very good team, probably a team that's going to be in the playoffs, may even make a deep run in the Western Conference in Colorado, a team that's loaded up with young talent that's, again, one of those teams that the league is going to market, and you go out there at home and you get the win. That's all you could ask for. It's October hockey, but it's a good thing to see that the Penguins, even though they face a good team like that, and even though they're injury-riddled, they get a win. Let me switch to this here before I end this first segment. Mason Rudolph is out of concussion protocol. You may have heard that. And he's been cleared by an independent neurologist, and it's pretty much all systems go for Mason Rudolph. And I loved what Mike Tomlin had to say. He didn't have an official press conference with the bye week this week, but he did speak about his team, and he said this about Mason Rudolph.
That guy is our quarterback when he clears the protocol, and it's as simple as that. Appreciate the efforts of Duck and so forth, but as soon as he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
So in his own Mike Tomlin way, he endorses Mason Rudolph, and I got to be honest, I love to hear that because it puts the Duck Dynasty delusion away. It silences this Duck Dynasty delegation that we have going here in Pittsburgh right now. He had a lot more to gain, Mike Tomlin did, I thought, by saying that than leaving things completely open. Or even saying that he was just going to start, that he was, yeah, he's going to be probably our starting quarterback once he gets back. No, he said Mason Rudolph is our quarterback. It marks a clear line in the sand here between this is a guy who is a huge part of our organization to a guy that we appreciate the efforts of, and he filled in for a game in Duck Hodges. And it shows full confidence in Mason Rudolph that maybe we haven't even seen them express so far this season in the way that they've kind of kept Rudolph under wraps when he's been in the game. But maybe, just maybe, a sign that he can have that kind of confidence in him in the future. And what do I mean by the future? I mean beyond this season, beyond 2019, when a certain quarterback comes back from a certain injury that's kept him out for this season. This got to be the storyline for the rest of the season here, right? I'm so intrigued by this Ben Roethlisberger-Mason Rudolph dynamic that we have developing. These last 10 games could shake out and have a major, major, major impact on this franchise. And that is what I'm looking forward to most. That's what I'm watching for most here for the rest of this season. And it's got to be, big picture, it's such a unique circumstance because What if, and we play out the string a lot in sports talk radio, and so let's do it here. Let's play out the string. What if Mason Rudolph goes out there, and he's, probably a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, maybe gets him into the playoffs, and does everything that you ask of him to do, and looks like a franchise guy. What then? And you might think that this is a unique circumstance, and you might not think that, you know, right away, but I don't think there's anything that's been like it. I think of the recent transitions or the recent passing ons in the NFL. I think of Wentz and Foles. These are guys that are franchise quarterback and then the guy who's also there, I guess, in these situations. There's Wentz and Foles. Much different because Carson Wentz is just starting his career. And Nick Foles was older. So this, if anything, this was more like, you know, a Murray Fleury kind of deal where it was, you know, this guy only has so many years left in his career where this guy has a bright future, has success so early, and obviously we're going to keep the guy that we can get 10-plus years out of. And so I think that was a pretty easy decision in the end there to stick with Carson Wentz. You think of maybe Favre and Rodgers. That's different because Favre retired when Rodgers was waiting in the wings, and the Packers just didn't want any of his nonsense when he tried to come back into the league after that. They said, no, we have our guy. Sorry, but we're moving on. And then I think of Manning to Luck, and that was different because the Colts were terrible without Peyton Manning, and they were going to get the number one pick. I know the Steelers are 2-4 right now without Ben Roethlisberger, but Manning's future was just as uncertain as Ben's, maybe if not even more, with some of the neck injuries and the back stuff that he was dealing with at the end of his career. And like I said, the Colts were lined up to get Andrew Luck, their franchise guy. So that's not even the same. So it's so interesting and intriguing to me that there may come a point, if Rudolph plays well, and heaven forbid leads the Steelers to the playoffs, that the front office is going to be faced with a major, major decision here of, are they going to cater to the man? Are they going to do that with Ben Roethlisberger? Because he's not going to be a guy that's going to play second fiddle. Or are they going to cater to the organization in doing what is best? And I honestly don't know what decision they'd make. I really don't. Because I don't think Ben would ever settle for being even close to number two or having that pressure behind him of having Mason Rudolph on the roster after he's proven that he can be a franchise quarterback. I'd think that he's a lot more like Tom Brady wanting to get rid of Jimmy G than Carson Wentz having Nick Foles around. It's going to be a lot more of that first situation rather than the latter. And I don't know what kind of decision the Steelers are going to make, if they're honestly going to pull the plug on the Ben Roethlisberger era, even if it makes the most sense to do so. I kind of think that they would not do it. And they would come under a lot of criticism nationally. I don't know what the feeling would be locally, but honestly, in being in this business, I'm kind of rooting for that scenario to play out, not only because I want to see the Steelers win for the rest of the season, but I want to see what kind of decision is made at the end of the year if that plays out. Coming up next, baseball was canceled last night, but I have a bunch of just random stories that you might have missed from last night, stories that came out overnight, and also some Penguins post-game sound if you went to bed right after the game. Plus, a man was in the news yesterday that may have been the luckiest man to ever play in the NFL. And I'll get into that. It's all coming up next on the Early Morning Show. It is the Early Morning Show. The time right now is 5:19. It's brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. And the Penguins win last night 3-2 over the Colorado Avalanche. May have gone to bed maybe before the game ended last night, or certainly didn't catch what was happening post-game, so let's catch you up on it. What you'll see plastered all over the highlight shows today, the highlight of the night, really, Sidney Crosby with his backhanded goal just mowing through the Avalanche defense and then scoring on a backhand. Sidney Crosby talking about his goal after the game.
I just got a puck near their blue line and kind of bobbled it a bit, and then had a short, you know, small 2-on-1 there, and I just tried to, you know, I was thinking maybe shoot, and then, you know, I just tried to hold on to it and waited for something to open up and was able to take it to my backhand.
Yeah, Crosby's demeanor, of course, how he plays the game, everything's just so simple. You know, it's just, I just did this and that, and then that happened, and I scored, and that's going to be the number one play from the night. So it's just another day in my life. And Crosby talked about also going against Nathan MacKinnon in overtime. More ice out there, a lot of skill on display.
That's not ideal. I'll tell you that. There's a lot of other guys I'd rather be going against 3-on-3 than him. You know, he's so powerful and he's so quick. That much ice, I mean, there's only so much you can do. At some point, you just try to angle him. And when he's able to wind it up like that in the zone, you need some help.
Yeah, good on the NHL for marketing, I guess, this matchup, putting it on national TV last night. MacKinnon gotten off to a great start to the year already, 9 points in 6 games. He is one of the best, and you saw Sid and MacKinnon go at it last night. And then Brandon Tanev, what was it like just throwing that puck toward the crease and watching it slowly, slowly go in?
Yeah, it almost goes into slow motion there, you know, but it was fortunate enough to take a generous bounce through there.
Yeah, just throwing the puck to the net and scoring there, and as I mentioned, kind of anticlimactic, but hey, it gets you the win in the end. So here's some nonsense that you may have missed yesterday, and this was kind of in the middle of the day, so you obviously weren't sleeping then, but Myles Garrett, in the latest of what can we make fun of the Browns about today, he goes on Twitter yesterday and says a fan, quote-unquote, hopped out of his car to take a picture with me and then punched me in my face. Put your legs into it. Might have actually made me flinch. And then another guy tweets at him, a fan, and says, I hope you grabbed him up. Sorry this happened to you, Miles. People are complete trash out there. And then Myles Garrett, the defensive end, of course, for the Cleveland Browns, responds, was in my car, flagged me down for a picture, and I cracked the window enough for the camera to get in my face. He took the picture and then gave me a pillow tap. So what is happening in Cleveland? There's all kind of things. They got the wrong fans throwing beer, and they got other guys punching their best defensive players in the face. That's what happens whenever you're a Cleveland Brown, I guess. It's just craziness. In other words, otherwise, Theo Epstein, the of course, the head man out there in Chicago just got rid of his manager, Joe Maddon, who ends up in L.A. with the Angels. Had a crazy story come out about him last night. So he rented a place in 2015 in spring training out in Arizona. And there is a lawsuit now saying that Epstein's dog urinated throughout the house and it penetrated through the carpeting and pad and all the way to the slab of the floor. And there's also other damages, including that the Epsteins allegedly left the home with holes in the drywall. So I don't know if Theo was just coming home and just angry and just was that was his therapy. Who knows there? But there was also this detail about this story is that the family moved out of this place because there was a scorpion infestation at the house. And it was cited that 45 of these Arizona bark scorpions were on this property. And we don't know about scorpions here, obviously, but these scorpions were the most venomous scorpion in North America. And he had them all over his house. And like a newborn was in his house. There was 45 of them all over the place. And so that was just kind of a crazy off-the-wall story that I saw yesterday that Theo Epstein, this guy who's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars and is, you know, the head man out there in Chicago, it had to be forced out of his house because his tiny little dog, his 10-pound rescue puppy, peed all over the place. He had holes in his wall, and he had the most venomous scorpions in the world around his house and in front of his family. It's insane. Also, coming up next here on the Early Morning Show as I wrap up, you can tell it's bye week. The luckiest man to ever play in the NFL and maybe the only guy who's ever gotten the last laugh against the New England Patriots in the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick era. And also, an ex-referee said something very interesting that makes a lot of sense about NFL officiating. That's all coming up on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. Being told I say scorpions weird? Scorpions. I don't know. How do you say it? Scorpions? Who knows? It's the start of a new day. It's brought to you by Greenbrier Treatment Center. There was a moment coming into work today that you only see at 3:30 in the morning. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced this other than people that are, well, out at 3:30 in the morning. I was going toward work coming in today, and the split between going toward into the Fort Pitt Tunnel and then going to 376 East, there was a car that just stopped completely. Just was not moving at all, and I had to slam on my brakes and then just backed up and went the other way. They were going toward the tunnel and said, I'm just going to stop right in the middle of the road and go in reverse and go toward Monroeville or whatever that is, 376 East there, which is something you just don't see every day and don't see at a normal time. That's when you know when you're getting to work way too early. Okay. The luckiest man ever to play in the NFL. He just retired. He was in the news yesterday. Just retired after 7 seasons in the NFL. And that man is quarterback Brock Osweiler. This guy beat the New England Patriots. So he takes over for Peyton Manning in 2015 after Manning was out with all of his injury issues that he was dealing with toward the end of his career there. And he beat the New England Patriots. This was later on in the season in 2015, November 29th to be exact. And it was at home at Denver. I believe it was a Sunday night game, if I remember correctly. And it was snowing outside. And the Broncos and the Patriots were the two best teams in the league at the time. And he beat the Patriots 30-24 in the snow. He was 23 of 42 for 270 yards. Had a touchdown and an interception. So he threw a touchdown late in that game, I believe, to really win it. And somehow from that game, everyone thought that he was a starting quarterback in the NFL. He went on to be just okay, I guess, the rest of that 2015 season. I mean, he ended up with, 10 touchdowns and 6 picks. Okay. He was all right. And the Broncos ended up winning the Super Bowl that year. So Peyton Manning ends up coming back and leading them to a title. And so Brock Osweiler gets a Super Bowl ring, something that most athletes and most guys in the NFL chase their whole careers and have Hall of Fame careers. Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, and never win a Super Bowl. And so he wins that, although he wasn't the starter. But in his career, 37 touchdowns, 31 interceptions, and started 30 games, had a career record of 15-15, and somehow swindled his way to signing a contract from the Houston Texans that was 4 years, $72 million, and paid him $37 million guaranteed over the first 2 years. That was virtually guaranteed. We know that guaranteed contracts in the NFL. But that guy, you talk about getting the most out of his talent. You know, you hear that all the time of guys that are like, yeah, you know, he's not the most skilled, but he works hard and he gets the most out of his talent. I don't know how hard that Brock Osweiler worked, but he got the most out of his talent. The most out of 37 touchdowns and 31 interceptions, signed a $72 million deal. The luckiest man to ever play in the NFL. Swindled everybody right to the bank. And now he retires after seven seasons, and he was quoted as saying, "I have my health, and I have the ring." And good for you, Brock Osweiler. You did not get beat up. You didn't take too many shots over your career because you didn't play, because you weren't good enough. And you got rich, and you got a Super Bowl ring. Congratulations to you on a career that is unmatched by anybody else. All right, a question of the day as I wrap up here on the early morning show. And it goes back to the first segment of the show. Has Mason Rudolph showed that he can be Ben's heir? That he's the guy after Ben Roethlisberger retires, or maybe even he doesn't even come back after this year. Who knows what happens there with his rehab? But from what you've seen of Mason Rudolph so far in this season, has he showed that he can be that next guy for this franchise? I don't know if I've seen enough yet, and that's what I'm looking for the most in these last 10 games, because I don't think that the Steelers are going to make that postseason. That's going to be an unlikely run there. But has Mason Rudolph showed you that he can be Ben's heir? Something to get the conversation started with anybody throughout the day today. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet, Route 19 in the South Hills, with great incentives on existing 2019s and the all-new 2020s. Today, windy with a passing shower and a high of 51. And tonight, breezy, early, and mostly cloudy, and a low of 41. Fan Morning Show pre-show, it's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.